This is Jeff Chrisman, and I'm here at the Skirvin Hotel. I'm continuing the conversation with Marissa Raglin. She is the Skirvin Paseo Artist in Residence here. And what I thought we would do is hear a little bit about your life story and how you got started actually working in art.
Sure. Well, I have always felt that I wanted to be an artist. I hope other people that you've interviewed don't always say that, but, when people were writing about being astronauts and scientists, I was writing, I want to be an artist. And so have always loved drawing, working with pencil, and then moving to having some classes at Hobby Lobby. Miss Ann Hill was my art teacher there at Hobby Lobby when I first moved to Oklahoma. I'm originally from Bossier City, Louisiana. I have a lot of family still there. We visit very frequently. And when we moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma at a young age, I started doing these classes at Hobby Lobby. And I just found that I was able to focus more on this kind of a one-on-one with four or five people in the class with the teacher. And so it was neat to kind of go into the store, pull something off of the shelf, and create a still life with it, and then draw. And so it was a really fun opportunity that I think fostered my drive to kind of let the creative juices flow. And so moved around a little bit from Tulsa, went up to Cincinnati, Ohio, where I favored, honestly, working more in sports. I was a basketball player. Kind of dropped art off on the side for a little bit and then picked back up when I went to school at Oklahoma Baptist University from 08 to 2012. And it was there, again, with those small class sizes that I felt like I was able to connect with my professors and really kind of push myself creatively. And I loved to paint then. I loved to draw. But then I was really just drawn to this composition of working with collage. I felt like it was new. I didn't see many artists, especially Oklahoma artists, exploring this medium. And I found that I was quickly able to make multiple compositions and share ideas and whimsy and provide some sort of ethereal connection, otherworldly experience when using the vintage imagery. And so, and that's kind of, I think, the play from very early on wanting to be an artist to kind of how I've evolved to working with collage.
Oh, yeah. And then I didn't know if there was any particular artists that were inspirational to you as far as, work that you enjoyed that maybe, at least even if it was subconsciously,
I really love Matisse's works on paper. I think it's Beast of the Sea was my favorite work that I pulled aside and early in college that I connected to. I loved the fluid movement of my eye across the page. I love seeing his shapes, how he would cut out and compose something so beautifully with very block-like colors. And so really identified with Matisse, and then also a huge fan of Georgia O'Keeffe and just the intricacies that she has within her work. I also studied psychology in school, and I really wanted to be an art therapist because I loved the healing processes that I feel like, or the healing process that I feel that art has, that kind of working through an idea or working through letting those emotions come out onto the paper. And so that kind of evolved by incorporating some of these artists and with this idea of, oh, I'm going to be an art therapist. And so it just kind of, I was inspired by those artists, but I wasn't sure if I should take the jump in pursuing a medium like this so kind of foreign to me. I think that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And then I was, I'm trying to think here the best way to ask this. As far as with your own work or your own process, are there certain aspects of the work that you do? And if so, maybe what aspects of the process, if you are having, maybe you're having a tough day or you're going through something, I was just curious in terms of it, that therapeutic component, if I could, or if I could get to ask maybe to hear a little bit from you as far as how that helps you personally or if it helps you personally.
Right. My husband would tell you that I need to have some studio time to kind of like decompress these ideas and feel like if I get stressed in the workplace or if I get worked up about something, it's very, very relaxing for me to get in and kind of have my cutting mat and my cutting blade, and I'm able to kind of it requires a lot of precision and a lot of focus, and so I find that those stressors kind of vanish when I'm really focused in. And so things that, you know, are also working in are my daily experiences. You know, I had a young woman kind of be rude to me, and I was like, well, why, you know, why would you say something like that? Why would that? And so I found the perfect imagery to kind of compose this thought of, why can we be vultures to each other? Why don't we support one another? Why don't we encourage one another? And so I found that, like, this composition started forming. And so those daily experiences do impact what I'm making.
And then I wonder, too, as far as you look back at your work since you started, I mean, have there been any distinct periods? Or would you, as far as the subject matter, obviously, I guess I was going to ask, as far as, has there been somewhat of an evolution or a change, or have you generally worked with the same subject matter since you started doing this?
That's a good question. When I first started, you can see a lot of animals in my work, and a lot of, I would say, a little bit more intentional playfulness in featuring something just off in a landscape, or something just off in the composition that, wait, is that possum floating? Like, interesting questions that come about in that first year of just being weird and just trying to again, like, search for that whimsy in the composition. And then I became much more intentional about the stories or the narratives that were forming with the images in the next year. Hmm. And then I latched on to cacti because I love cutting out cacti and how fluid that motion is, and then I love the negative space that forms around a cactus because that plays a lot into my work. There's a lot of white space in my work, and that's been consistent throughout because I really like the idea that the images then have room for conversation. They're able to kind of bounce off of a white sheet of paper or off of a piece of wood that I've glued them onto, and they're able to bounce off of that surface. And so that is something that's been very consistent. And also working with vintage imagery has been consistent from the start. I don't favor working with the glossy texture. I find it a little too easy to cut and remove. I really favor that challenge of, even if I look at that vintage paper the wrong way, it's going to disintegrate. And so I really like the challenge that's kind of coupled in with that.
Oh, yeah. And then as far as the, you know, how people interact with your work, when you do an exhibition, do you tend to provide some narrative, or do you tend to let the viewer just see your work and kind of just decide for themselves what they think that it means or what
significance? Yes, I really like for guests to create their own meaning from the piece. Yes, I'll provide a statement if necessary if I feel that the piece warrants more discussion or could be confusing that of really what the narrative I'm trying to share. But by and large, I would say that I really like that from a composition I can have a certain thing in mind, and then if just asking friends or colleagues their thoughts about the work while they're viewing it, I love to hear, oh, well, this kind of ties into Times Square or New York, or the feeling, the prickly of the cactus makes me feel like it's anxious, or there's anxiety brewing. And so I love to hear that and see those reactions to these images that have a second life.
Oh, yeah. And then as far as people's reactions, I was curious, and not to put you on the spot at all, I didn't know if there's ever been any, or what you'd say might be the most interesting reactions or discussions that you've had and then there again, don't want to put you on the spot, sure, you know, asking that kind of question, but I was just curious if there's ever been any, or even maybe something that, you know, someone has said, or the way that they've commented, or a question that they've asked that's kind of spurred some additional thoughts that's kind of led back into, or fed back into your process.
Sure. One instance that pops in my head is I cut the heads off of all of the men in a black and white photograph from, I believe it was a Life magazine image. And the expression on the young woman's face in the center, who I left intact, looked kind of bashful, kind of had her head down and her hands clasped together. And these men, one had a microphone, and it was like they were kind of having this discussion that she was uncomfortable with, or they were in front of a stage and she was shy. And so I cut out the men's head and replaced them with cacti, and I entitled the piece Prick. And someone was like, why are you cutting guys' heads off and replacing them? Why are they pricks? And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Not everyone is a prick. But in this narrative, I really like that it feels as if it completes it. Her emotion and the expression on her face is compelling, paired with the frustration of these crazy cacti kind of growing behind her. And so I guess that's just the first one that popped in my head.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I'd have to think that, just from what I have seen and as far as hearing you talk, that one of the things that I find very interesting is that this is something, when you see those images, that it, to me, it's almost like they do spur that. In other words, and I guess depending on the age that someone is and mm-hmm. what they've been through, you know, how that really speaks to them in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would. There's another piece that kind of comes to mind that I really love working with romance novels, vintage romance novels that have the loving embrace or the passionate kiss on the front of the cover. And I typically cut out the men or cut out some aspect so that it's a strong female there featured alone. With one in particular, I have her embracing a mountain. And I just felt that it was like she was tucked in by the mountain. It almost looked as if her body, it became like she was under a sleeping bag, like there was this loving embrace by the mountain. And then I had a friend look at the piece and say, oh, it's a cold shoulder. And I'm like, oh, God. Wow. So I love hearing those kind of that reaction to the work, because whereas I found something nurturing by a cold, rigid mountain, someone else, was doing it as, rigid and cold and, standoffish.
Oh, yeah. And then as far as, looking to the future, I know we've talked a little bit in the other segment about, some of the things you have upcoming. I didn't know if there's anything as far as any new projects or anything you might want to speak about or anything you have in development, or even if it's just thoughts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I do have Oklahoma Contemporary's showroom, which is down on Broadway. They are featuring me in their Share in the Showroom series, which is scheduled for February 15th at 6 p.m. And I've been paired with a very talented musician who will play a few of her songs and then talk about her process, at which point I would then come up and talk about my process and what I do. And so I'm really looking forward to that and talking with people about my work.
Absolutely. Well, Marissa, this has been very enlightening, and I've definitely enjoyed learning more about you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.